We want to release our kids to Children's Church at this time. I want to just bless them this morning. Yeah. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Man, even when we have a lot of people out, we still have a lot of kids in Children's Church, and that's a blessing, is it not? Is that not awesome? Oh, man. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it, brother. I want you to maintain that thought, that mindset of His presence. We sang a song a while ago, and it was saying, heaven is here. Heaven is here. And I want us to fix our minds this morning on the ever-present reality of heaven now, kingdom now. I don't know about you guys, but in the mainstream denomination that I grew up in, it seemed like it was always about the past and the future, but not enough about the present. God did this, and then one day He's going to do this. And it was always a look back, and it was always a look to our blessed hope that one day I'm going to be with Him in heaven. And God wants to heighten our awareness of the now, of who He is right now, what He's doing right now. And I really want us to just to fix our minds on that this morning. I'm gonna keep it simple. Bruce asked me yesterday, he said, man, what are you preaching tomorrow? And I said, well, dude, I said, I'm not a big theme guy. But I said, two times a year I'm theme. And I said, at Easter, you got to talk about the crucifixion and the resurrection. And I said, Christmas, you got to talk about the coming of Jesus. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so this morning, thank you, worship team. Y'all can make your own way on down. I know some of y'all have to jet to different functions and events and stuff like that. I so appreciate you guys because, you know, I had two or three people on the worship team come up to me this morning like, man, we got to leave earlier. We got to leave right after worship because of, you know, this or this. And I'm like, man, I'm thankful you came to help lead us in worship. And man, they do that every week. Man, they do that every week. And I'm just so, so thankful. Scott, will you catch the lights back here, brother? Y'all turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 2. I'm going to be reading out of the King James this morning. I like to, I don't know, man. It's just something about this. I love the Passion, and I love all the other translations. But when I come in and I read the Christmas story and I read the crucifixion and the resurrection and all of that, and maybe it's just because this is what I grew up on, and what I grew up on wasn't all bad, guys. It brought me into a place of salvation. It brought me into a place of understanding that Jesus loves me and that He came for me and He died for me. And I think it just fell short in the fullness. And as I said earlier, when we were talking about the processing the deer and trying to explain to Taylor Nicole and Zeeland and Sydney Hannah, and I said, you know, when you take a life, don't waste a life and make it count for something and all of that. And I just want us to walk in the fullness of the gospel. I want us to walk in the present reality that God is here now. And God is doing something significant in the earth. God is doing something significant in your lives. I've had the good fortune the last 2 weeks to spend some really awesome one-on-one time with a couple of 20-something-year-olds. One was a young man in Honduras, and one was a young lady here. And just some real good time of them asking questions and them wanting to know about kingdom life and what makes us tick and what's led to us being where we are today and all of this stuff. And just a real good opportunity for me just to get just real serious and just to pour into them and all of that. And what I want to convey and for all of us is that you don't have to wait until that someday. That God is just as present in your life and just as at work in your life as He is in mine. I'm at more of a fulfillment stage in my life. I mean, I'm older and God's kind of bringing me into this stage in my life where a lot of things have come into fruition and a lot of the dreams are being realized and stuff like that. But it is no less than 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. He was just as at work in my life then as He is now. And to me, that's the thing about Christmas. Is we come in and we read the Christmas story, and what I want you to see is the prophecies had declared that the Messiah would come to the Jewish people. You look at all of these prophecies that had come out about Him. I mean, even so much as to where He was would be born and all of this stuff, and they were looking for their hope fulfilled. And that was a Messiah. I think they misplaced it, that when He comes, He's going to eradicate Rome. He's going to remove the Romans, and we're going to be able to live in this place of freedom and this and this and this and pick back up on our Jewish culture and customs. And they totally missed what He was wanting to do. I think the church today has missed so much on what God's wanting to do because we think that God's going to come in and the coming of Christ is going to be this huge cultural reformation and transformation, and that will be the fruit of it. But we think God's going to come and He's wanting to set everything in order, get everything like it's supposed to be according to us, you know, the world according to Sid, the world according to Lori or Sharon, and this is how you're going to do this. And everybody's got their idea of what it looks like. And God says, what I want to come in and do is totally capture your heart and ravage your life with my love and my purpose and my calling and my relationship with you. And then the fruit out of that is going to look what it look like what it's supposed to look like. But we think that God wants to come in and do all of these things without conquering our heart. And He came and He shed His blood and He died and He gave His life and my sins killed Him to totally come in and capture my heart. And I want us to understand that this is a present reality. It's not a future thing. It's not a past thing. Yes, it was the past, and yes, it will be the future, but it's a right now. And the message in Christmas is they come in, and Israel was looking for one thing, and God totally threw them a curveball. I mean, He came in, they're looking for the Messiah to come in on a white horse. And later on, even after the birth of Christ, He came in on a donkey as He came in with the triumphal entry on the Palm Sunday. He rode a donkey in. Coming as a Prince of Peace. They were looking for a deliverer from Rome. And Jesus said, man, I'm doing something bigger than Rome, and that's a sin debt. I'm doing something bigger than Rome. You expect it to come like this. You want it to look like this. You want it to be a political transformation. You know, that's what the disciples were looking for. You know, they wanted this political thing to come in, and God's going to set things right. The Pharisees and the scribes, they're wanting the Messiah to come and to set things right. And He says, I am coming in as a personal God that's going to conquer your hearts and capture your hearts as individuals. And then as that plays out, then it's going to look like something amazing. And so they're looking for this, and Yahweh shows up. The incarnate manifestation shows up like a little baby through a virgin girl. All the circumstances that they're not looking for that really throws some curves. And it's the simplicity of God coming in, and He's like, heaven's here. I mean, Jesus is in the manger, a feed trough. Jesus is sitting in a feed trough. And I love God's attention to details, don't y'all? I mean, you know, later on He says, I'm the bread of life. Where did they first find Him? In a feed trough. You know, that's just stunning to me. You know, I've heard some stories on the swaddling clothes. Don't know if that's spiritually accurate or not. I mean, it sounds great, but just a lot of, God is a God of details. And so He comes in, and this baby is born. And, you know, man, I don't know if He's 7 pounds, 8 ounces, or 8 pounds, 2 ounces, but he's a baby, and He's born. And the angels and the creation, the stars, everything is declaring this is it. this is it. I love Peter's declaration in the book of Acts after Pentecost, and they come in and they all get filled with the Holy Spirit, and he goes out and he preaches the message. And you know what part of his message was? This is that thing that Joel spoke of. This is it. And I want to tell you, and I want to declare today, guys, that this is it. We're looking for something that is grand. We're looking for something that is wow. And if we properly see things, it is grand and it is wow. And I've got to experience what the world and the church would say is grand and wow. And right now, what I'm experiencing in him is more grand and more wow than anything I've ever experienced in my life. It is absolutely phenomenal. And God is saying, this is it. And my message to the kids today that are up there, this is it. My message to the youth would be, this is it. My message to the two 20-something-year-olds that I had an opportunity to spend one-on-one time and pour into them for some good amounts of time, my message to them was that this is it. You don't may not see it in your life right now. Both of you are single. Both of you are not yet in your career. You know, you're at that, I don't know, the stage in life that it's like this kind of the process and the in-between. Maybe the sprouting stage of their life and all that. But I'm saying this is it. And that's the message that the angels came and declared. This is the message that the star declared that this is it. And the question for us is, how will we be able to celebrate seed? I don't even want to say, I have to correct myself because I used to say, how will we celebrate small things? But seed's not small. Seed is not small. Seed's not small. Seed is seed. And it's going to grow, but it's huge and it's significant. It is huge and it's significant. And what God is doing in your life right now might be seed, but it's not small. What God's doing in this house, it might be seed, but it's not small. And so I want us to get and embrace and ask ourselves, how do I celebrate something that's in seed form? You know, I've heard Bill Johnson say this many times is, you know, often we pray for an oak tree in our lives and God gives us an acorn. We pray for an oak tree and he gives us an acorn. And I think how that acorn sprouts, is planted, and grows is dependent on how we celebrate the acorn. Because I've seen so many people discard it because they say that's just an acorn. And God said, but you know what that thing can and will become is something huge. The thing about the birth of Jesus is nobody got saved that day. Nobody got healed that day. Nobody got delivered that day. But yet it was the most significant time and moment because it's when God said, it's here. It's here. And so we sit here and we're like, well, I want to see the 50-year-old oak tree. I want to see the 100-year oak tree. But the thing is it started as an acorn one day. It started small. We've got Lori makes us T-shirts and sweatshirts for our farm. It's Abiding Farms is the name of it. And it comes out of John 15 where he says, if you abide in me, you'll gain much fruit or you'll produce much fruit. You'll become much fruit that's the whole backdrop of where that came from. And Lori makes these T-shirts, and it says, below it, it says established in 1965. That's when my parents bought the first piece of property over there, established in 1965. And it's still in the process of redemption and all of that stuff. But there had to be an establishing date. See, a lot of us, we want to come in and we want to skip the establishing date. But there has to be an establishing date in our life, where God said, this is it, and it's the now. This is it. It may look small, it's not. It may be seed, but it's not small. And so I want us to think, you know, with the Jesus and his earthly ministry and everything that happened, perhaps this is the established date. But there's got to be this established date in our lives. There's got to be this established date in our families. And you say, man, I didn't have that growing up, didn't have the generational thing. We can talk about breaking curses and all that. But you can start today and you can establish it today and say, as for me and my house, this is who we are and this is what we're going to do. And we're going to change things generationally moving forward. Now, I've heard me say 1,000 times, before Israel was a nation, Israel was a family. And before Israel was a family, Israel was a man that had a promise from God. And that promise was a present promise from God. Even though he didn't see the seed as the sand of the sea or the stars in the sky, God said, this is what your lineage is going to look like. And by faith, he said, okay, yes. And he had one son. Had two sons, one legitimate. And he had one son. Right? And then his grandson had 12. And we see how God began to multiply. But there had to be an establishing date. Let's read the scripture, and I'll just bring out a couple things, and we'll high-five each other, and we'll go home and wrap presents or just spend time or whatever we're doing today. In chapter 2, the Gospel of Luke, it says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, look at that, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass. Notice this present tense on everything in this, guys. This present tense. This day is come, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, I love what Marty says, when you see it, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. This is the part of the Christmas story where we see the adoration of the shepherds. I'm going to read in just a second in Matthew, and we see the wise men that are coming at a later time, you know, perhaps a year, year and a half after this, to worship him also. And we could pick apart and exponentially teach on all the different aspects of this. But I really feel like this morning I'm just supposed to say to you that, you know, is ask ourselves, how do we celebrate the seed? How do we celebrate the seed? How do we celebrate something that's in its infancy? How do we celebrate, recognize? Here's the thing, is to recognize the significance of it. I think that's the first step. Before the shepherds could do anything in moving forward, they had to recognize the significance. You said, well, man, if an angel came to me, then that would get my attention and I would do whatever. The word says that we entertain angels unaware. God reveals himself into so many ridiculous ways into our life, but a lot of times we go through life blindly because we're so focused on all these other things that we can't see. as I was sitting in that shooting blind yesterday with Taylor, I had to make sure that her scope was in focus on the rifle she was using. I had to make sure my binoculars were in focus so we could properly see what might be coming out 200, 250 yards away. And so I had to get things in focus. And we go through life looking through binoculars, looking through things, and we're totally out of focus. You know, Eric, when you're doing your elk hunting, you got your spot and scope out. You've got to get it in focus. And one thing that I like about optics is if you come and you look at good optics, there's a setting on those optics, and you know what's on that? It's an infinity sign. And it means it will see clearly into forever. Sometimes if something's here, you have to bring it into focus in a certain way, or if it's at this spot and all that. But there's always an infinity sign on this. And God wants our focus to be where we see generationally. He wants our focus to see where we see beyond. We see the moment, but we can see beyond the moment. We see the moment that, yes, there's a baby lying in the manger. We see the moment that this is going on, but we see it as something more than just maybe what it appears right now. And so God wants us to become keenly aware of everything around us and how he speaks to us and how he reveals himself to us. I promise you, God is getting to where he's wanting to come in, and he wants to speak to us in such subtle and simple ways if we would simply get focused where we could properly see it. Because when we're out of focus, we can't see squat, guys. It's just a blur, and we're like, man, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. Is it this or is it this? And to be able to see clearly, and he comes in and the angel begins to speak to them. And there was a simple faith with these guys. It's not like these shepherds were, you know, at this point, they're tending sheep. Now, I'm not saying they weren't, you know, covenant people or anything like that. But they're not sitting there pouring through scripture saying, man, I believe it's getting close to the time, and trying to figure out the next prophetic thing and all of that stuff. I love prophecy, man, and I embrace prophetic stuff. I really, really do, guys. But if there's one flaw in prophecy that I see, it's always God's about to do something. And I agree God is about to do something. But you know what I want to say emphatically? God's doing something right now. And I'm excited what he's going to do next year. And I'm excited what he's going to do in 5 years. I'm excited what he might do in 2024. That'd be awesome. That'd be cool and all of this stuff. But you know where I'm living at? I'm living in December. What's today? The 19th, 20th, something like 21st, 19th. I'm living in December 19th, 2021. I'm living in the midst of a pandemic. I'm living in the midst of shutdowns. I'm living in the midst of uncertainties and all of this stuff. But I'm also living in a moment when God is at work and God is stirring and God is moving and God is doing. And I'm not going to let all my focus be on one day. I want to see what's in front of me. I want to see what he's doing right now. And he's doing ridiculously good stuff, guys. These guys come in and the angel speaks and says, man, behold, this is what this Savior is born today. And so with that in their mindset, it didn't say the Savior has appeared. Later on, here's the beauty of this. I really like this, guys. The thing about the Christmas story compared to the disciples finding Jesus, it can be way more, I don't want to say believable, but if Andrew comes up to you and we said, we found the one that we're looking for and he's a grown man and he's over here, man, we can latch on to that and say, this is the Messiah. Especially when Father God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, a booming voice from heaven, and we see him do the first miracle, open the first set of blind eyes. Man, I can latch on to that, but what about a 7-pound, let's just hypothetically say, a 7-pound, 8-ounce baby boy that's in a feed trough? And for us to come in and say, this is it. That's the kind of faith he wants us to have. I applaud Andrew, and I applaud Peter, and I applaud Philip, and I applaud all these guys when they said, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And they say, I can latch on to that. But you know how I'm in awe of? It's when a group of shepherds can say, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. And it's a 7-pound, 8-ounce baby boy laying in a feed trough. Let's read this real quick, and I'm going to wrap this up. Let's go to Matthew real quick. Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 2. Let me read these verses real quick, and we're going to hit something. I'm going to stay on this point. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And I'll stop there. I plan on reading further through all 12 verses. But they said, "We have seen his star in the east." These magi, these wise men, these guys that they did study the signs and they did study these things, but they saw this particular star, the star of Jesus, and they said, "This thing is significant. This thing is different. This feels, there's a weight on this. It feels different than any star I've ever looked for." And so you know what they did? By faith, they walked out and they traveled to another country. We have a picture, and right here, I think in this, it's, you know, we got the three kings. We sing the song, "We Three Kings of Orient." These three wise men. You know what historians really feel like? There was a great stir in Jerusalem when they came into Jerusalem, a great stir in the city. Three men usually don't cause a great stir, especially not in the days where there's no social media. They said that more than likely there was this huge caravan that came in of many, many magi, wise men, to worship Jesus. But even if it was three, these guys, by faith, by something that they saw and something they felt and something that God had revealed to them in nature, and they said, "Man, this is it. This is it." And they moved on that. And I want us to be a people that we move on this. We move when we see the subtle Bruce asked me a question. We were riding horses a couple days ago, and he was on my horse, and Bruce asked me a question. He said, "Do these horses, do they respond to your hands and your reins more?" Or doesn't know really anything about horses. "Or do they respond to your feet?" And I said, "When you get in tune with a horse and you're on a good horse," I said, "he will respond simply to your leg pressure, the inside of your legs. That's all you need. Just the subtlety of the leg pressure, and he knows exactly what you expect him to do. And you don't have to jerk and you don't have to kick. You don't just the inside leg pressure, and that's what he'll respond to." And I want to be so in tune with God. I want to be in such unison and proper alignment with God that I can respond to the subtle pressures, the subtle movement. I see this star. There's a weight on this star. One thing right now God's really got me tuned in and heightened into is when he puts weight on something. When he puts weight on something, I'm getting more sensitive to where I recognize that. And when he puts weight on something, then I put weight on it. And when I put weight on it, he puts even more weight on it. And it's this beautiful thing that goes back and forth. And that's what happened with these wise men here. Whether there was three or there was 100 of them, there was a weight on that star. And they said, "This is it." And so they responded and they moved and they went to another country to find Jesus. They came in and they asked Herod. They assumed Herod knew who he was and had already worshipped him. And they came to Herod and they said, "We've come to worship the king of the Jews. Where is he at? We figured you'd already figured this thing out and you'd already worshipped him." Now, because Jesus was probably a year and a half old when they showed up. It's not like them and that's not accurate. They're all not hanging out in the manger at the same time. And the shepherds are like, "This is cool and this is all of this stuff. Man, this is spread out over probably a year and a half." But they made this journey and they came and they were intentional. And they were bearing gifts and because they recognized the weight of something that God put on in the now in seed form. And I love that, man. I can latch on to 30-year-old Jesus, but can I latch on to a seed? I can latch on to Jesus when he's doing miracles. When he's turning water into wine, when he's healing the blind, when he's healing the lepers, when he's raising the dead. I can latch on to that, but can you latch on to that when it's in seed form? Well, he says, "Jeff, I know you don't, it might not feel it like it right now. You might not can see it right now, but this is it." And you've had from our conversations in Honduras and since you've been back and all of that stuff, you know, for a long time in the Philippines, you're like, "Okay, I know God, you're doing something, and I'm just, you know, I'm waiting and it seems small." And God says, "It's not small, it's seed. And now you're beginning to, man, things are just really, I've had that conversation with several people at the house. And they're like, you know, and they've all said, man, it just seems like the ministry is really blowing up over there for Jeff. And when I say blowing up, I mean a good thing blowing up. Man, we just see things coming to fruition and all of this stuff and everything. And but you know what? How many years you been over there now?
Seven.
Wow, does it seem like 7 years? God was just at work when he was moving on your heart before the seventh year. When he had you in Uganda on short-term trips in different places on short-term stuff, where he's saying, you know what, I'm preparing you and I'm going to do something. And then he sends you to the Philippines and, okay, I'm here. What am I supposed to be doing now? I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing now and all, but I'm just going to try to walk this thing out and all of that stuff. It was seed, but it wasn't small. And your yes to that is like the Magi coming in and saying yes to a star. Is that not beautiful faith, guys? It's the hope and belief that God is at work. Not, boy, one day he's going to do something. They say, God's doing it right now. We got to get there. And so they start the journey. And they get there. And they're intentional in the journey. And when they get there, they're like, Herod, where's he at? I want to worship him. He's like, I don't know what y'all talking about. And like, I'd like to see their back conversations on that. This joker's the king that lives in the country, and he don't even know the Messiah's born. We're from a distant land, and we picked up on this. We know God was at work in all of those things too, because the enemy would try to kill him and he was going to try to destroy him and all that. I love the detail of God. I cannot escape this. They come bearing all of these treasures and all of these gifts, and immediately God has got to send Jesus and Joseph and Mary into Egypt. Did y'all realize what he did in them coming? It was for the benefit of the Magi, for the benefit of the wise men, because they went back proclaiming everything that they had seen, everything that had happened and all this stuff. But you know what he did? He just funded the first several years of Jesus' life. You ever thought about that? He funded the first several years of their life. This gold and myrrh and frankincense and all of these precious things that they come. They didn't come and just give him a little, you know. It said they opened up their treasures. And if there was a big three, would have been significant. If there was, can you imagine a whole caravan and all this coming to Jesus? When God sets something in motion, God's got provision for it, guys. When God sets something in motion, he's got provision. And God set it in motion with Jesus, and it didn't show up till a year and a half later with the funding of this. And I don't mean to bring that down to funding, but some of you, that maybe that's a real thing in your life. Man, you know, Ashley, it could look out like y'all's business, you know, and Alec going out and start his own business and all that stuff. When God sets it in motion, he's got the funding in place. He's going to make it happen. It may be a year and a half. It may be year six. Maybe year seven. But he's got it in place, guys. Just because it's seed, he's got it in place. Just because it's seed relationally, just because it's seed ministry, he has got it in place. And I love these Magi because they said, you know what? I see a star and we're going to try and we're going to travel and we're going to follow that, because they felt the weight that God had put on that thing. And they said, this is it. This is it. And so they went. And we see the story. The shepherds, they went. And we see the story because they said, this is it. So this week, y'all stand to your feet. I told you I was going to be simple this morning. Okay. This week, feel the weight when God puts weight on things. Be sensitive to get in alignment with him, because that's where it starts. If you're out of alignment, I didn't say you weren't saved. It's probably a good likelihood that, you know, we're a small group in here this morning. Probably a good likelihood all you guys, y'all been around, y'all probably are, have given your heart to Jesus and you're saved and you're going to heaven. We're talking beyond that. That's awesome. And he did come to make a way for you to spend eternity with him, but he came to give you life right now. And maybe everybody in here is not living life right now. you're not in that alignment to where you, you know, you're at that place where God's got to take the reins and jerk that bit in your mouth so hard to get your attention, and that's no way to, that's no way to live. He wants you to be where you just feel the simple nudges, just the little leg pressures that you can move in the ebbs and the flow and the rhythm of God. I want to flow in the rhythm of God, and that's by the subtle pressure that he puts in our life. And so it starts with that. And so if that's you this morning, and then you need to respond to the Lord, whatever that looks like. If it's where you're sitting, if it's when you get home this afternoon, man, that's cool. Go home and get alone with God. Go for a walk with God and ask yourself some hard questions. Allow him to ask you some questions. But then once you get in that place where you feel like, man, I'm in line with God because I've asked him to forgive me. I've asked him to get me back and restore me to where I need to be. Then say, God, I want to be aware and responsive to the now. Show me the now. I want to see the now. We all want to see the future. He said, I want to show you now. That's where we mess up. We all say, I want to see what it's going to look like in 10 years. And God says, I want to show you what it looks like right now. Because if you'll really see what it looks like right now, it's a beautiful thing. You might have a glimpse into the 10 years, but you better be focused on what's happening now, because that's what I want you to see. Because you got to take that first step toward Bethlehem, toward Jerusalem, and then you get redirected to Bethlehem. See, that's what happened with the wise men. They say, man, we're following this thing to Palestine and we're going to Jerusalem. That's the capital. And that's where the direction that the star led us. But when they got to Jerusalem, they did not, or we actually look and see, it says the star reappeared to them after they had went and talked to Herod. So there was this moment in there when the star wasn't visible to them. But when they purposed in their hearts, we're going to go find this thing again after that. Because they could have went to Herod and he said, man, I ain't got a clue on it. They said, boy, we missed that. And checked back out, couldn't they? But by faith, they continued their journey. And as soon as they began intentionally and continuing their journey, what happened? It says the star reappeared to them. And it led them straight to where Jesus was. That may be you today. You might have got sidetracked by a Herod encounter. And you need the star to reappear in your life. So whatever that looks like for you, man, that's he wants us to live in the now. In the now.
I just want to, just a little teaching on it for the kids and the older kids that are in here and for us, because sometimes I forget it. Being from America, we don't always understand all the Jewish symbols that went on with all the Christmas story. And I'm learning, older I get, I keep digging in, I keep learning more and more. But the significance of being wrapped in those swaddling clothes, it wasn't just because he was born as a baby, as a manger. And that's where we get, you know, that's kind of where we stop. But back then, they had special fields. We all know the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb had to be spotless and without blemish. And he was, his whole life he was going to be sacrificed. But that little lamb was so, they had shepherds dedicated their lives to raising the Passover lambs. They would take the pregnant lambs, Eric, and they would take them to these fields around all these towns, and they had them set apart. So these pregnant lambs, when they had the babies, if they were spotless and blemished, they would wrap them in swaddling clothes and take them and put them in the mangers. And the mangers were not like this. They believed mangers back then were in the caves. So they would take these lambs, because they couldn't have any broken bones, they couldn't have any blemishes, and they would take special care of them. Scholars believe that these shepherds were the very ones that were in charge of taking care of the Passover lambs. So they would know when they found Jesus wrapped up in this manger, and they believed the caves that he was at was actually the caves where they took the lambs, the Passover lambs. It wasn't just a random cave picked out of something. He was of the lineage of David, and these lambs come from these towns. So everything God does is detailed, detail-oriented. And things we sometimes miss, it was significant that he was born there. The shepherds knew, he is our Passover lamb. But the angels told them, they had significance in that. So just this Christmas, take those details and just hold on to them. That God, he has the details over your life. He did that 2,000 years ago, and he's still doing it today. He's still into the details of your life, Kathy. He still knows you're missing Doyle this Christmas. He knows those details. He knows you're missing your brother. He knows all those details. He's into that. We'll just dig in it and see all those cute and quaint things that we miss sometimes. We'll understand he's there for us. So let's just end by prayer today. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are a God of details. You see the seed, and you see it as the oak tree, where we just sometimes see a seed. Father, I pray today that you would help us to see all the details of this beautiful season we're celebrating. We thank you, Father, that you showed us in every detail that you were the one. You, if we will just look, we will find you, and we will see you in all the miracles in our lives. I pray for those this Christmas that are missing loved ones, Father. My heart has just been burdened for those who've lost their spouses or their kids or their sisters or their brothers or what grandparents, whatever was significant. Father, I pray you just touch them and comfort them as the way only you can, Father. I pray you be with those. Be with those that are in need this Christmas. Let us see the one, Father, that you set before us, whether it's just a cashier needing someone to see her today or see him today. I pray, Father, you give us those eyes to have your eyes of details, that we wouldn't just walk by and dismiss the moment, that we would see the moment in our lives this week and in the weeks to come in the new year, Father. I thank you so much for everyone that's here, Father. I pray you bless their homes with peace this season. Joy, comfort, whatever they need, Father, I know that you are that God of details and you are there for them. I pray for those traveling, as Sydney did earlier. I pray for all those that are sick, the flus and the pandemic and every different area, whatever, stomach, whatever it is, Father, I pray you just be with those that are sick and just help them to get well and whole and complete in you, Father. And we thank you for showing us your love for us on this earth, Father, now, today. And we praise you for it, and we love you for it. It's in your name we pray. Amen.